This is Afternoons Live with Tyler Axness on News Radio, KFGO.
Well, the well went dry and the cow did too. Daddy didn't know what to do. The banker came by the house one day.
KFGO time is 2:09. It is Wednesday afternoon. Hope it's been treating you well wherever you guys locked into KFGO. I'm Tyler Axis. I'll be with you until 4 o'clock as I am each and every day of the work week. A number of things we'll get to today. Plenty of time for your phone calls at 237-5948. Toll free is 1-800-880-5346. And of course, the text club open to you at 35270. So the news coming down within the last hour is that Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison is doing additional charges for the four officers involved in the George Floyd homicide. Went from third degree to second degree on the individual officer that had his knee on the neck. And the question becomes, what does that mean? For someone like me that's not involved in law enforcement, that's not an attorney, not in the judicial, what does it all mean? So we decided to reach out to somebody that can explain it to us. His name is Brian Melton. He's the attorney over in Clay County. Brian, I really appreciate you taking time on such short notice. How are you today?
Yeah, good afternoon, Tyler. Good to be here. Thanks.
Well, thank you. I guess the question right away is, you've got the change in charges here. What does it mean? What does going from third degree to second degree, what does that all entail?
Sure. Well, so murder second degree is really just where a person causes the death of a human being with intent to affect that death, but without premeditation. So anytime a charge like that happens, or if we're in court, you're obviously working to prove that that person acted with intent to cause the death. And so usually there's instructions in regard to the jury that, you know, intent is a process of the mind, so you may not have direct evidence, but you have to look at any evidence you have, direct or circumstantial evidence, to determine if they had intent to cause that death. That's different than murder in the third degree, where you're causing the death without intent, but acting in a way that's imminently dangerous and without regard to human life. So you'd be proving the fact that a person acted in a way that was, you know, causing a imminently dangerous action against that person. So it's just a difference of how you're showing either intent versus not having to show intent, but just that they acted in a dangerous manner.
So with that, you know, you're moving up the degree, and you know, again, my assumption is you've got to have, you know, the compelling evidence to make the case there. What goes into that? I mean, we had the independent autopsy now come out, you know, that had some discrepancies, in my opinion, from the original. Is that part of the basis here? What I'm afraid of, I'll just get to the point, Brian, is now that we up this, you know, as far as getting a conviction goes, is it much more difficult in this situation now with the second degree instead of the third?
Sure. And so you're always looking at that as a prosecutor. You're weighing the evidence that you see, and you know, all the time you're you know, looking at cases. If we have cases where a murder occurs and somebody, say, picks up a knife and stabs someone, you're trying to figure out, did they act with intent, or did they do it just in a method that was, you know, imminently dangerous, or did they do it in, say, the heat of passion, which would then be manslaughter. So you're always trying to look to the facts and the surrounding things that would do that. One thing I don't know right now with Attorney General Ellison is whether or not he is looking to charge both the murder in the second degree and the murder in a third degree, where you could look to argue and say, you know, we believe we're showing that there was intent, but if you don't find intent, you could still look to the murder in the third degree. So they potentially still have those other charges available to them. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the charging document to know whether or not that's how they're looking to charge that, or if they're only looking to charge murder in the second degree.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that, because I look at our text club, and as you know, listeners are wondering, if they charge second degree, but the jury finds, you know, third degree, can the jury come back with that verdict? Is it all or nothing? But it really depends on the charge. The charge is, I assume.
Absolutely. It depends on the charge. If they did go in a method that said we're going only with a single charge, it's all or nothing murder in the second degree, then that's how they would look to, they would, you know, have a strong feeling that that's all there is and that's what we want and that's how we want to go forward. Or they can go with a method that says, well, we believe we have a strong case with murder in the second degree, but if in fact the facts come out and it looks more to be a murder in the third degree or a manslaughter, you know, second degree, then so be it. Then that's what the jury could find. It does depend on how they charge it out.
Brian Melton, I guess he's a Clay County attorney, just discussing the update within the last hour of the Attorney General of Minnesota, Keith Ellison, elevating charges against a former Minneapolis police officer who knelt on George Floyd's neck while adding charges of aiding and abetting murder against the other three officers. I guess, Brian, is when we talk about the aiding and abetting and murder, what goes into now adding those charges? Do you have any insight on that you could share with us?
Right. I would expect that they would, what I would expect they would do anytime that we look to charge an aiding and abetting, you would look to the original charge that you're charging the other person and charge them with that same level. Aiding and abetting actually carries the same level. Sometimes some crimes that are, say, an attempt or some of these other, or conspiracy, they many times will half the amount that the charge would carry. But aiding and abetting actually carries the same amount. So with murder in the second degree, your maximum amount would be up to 40 years. So it would carry that same amount with aiding and abetting. And aiding and abetting really defines as if you're aiding, advising, conspiring with the other individual to help them complete whatever crime that is.
Brian, one question that's been thrown around, I think, in a lot of people's minds, and it certainly has been brought onto KFGO radio here, is, you know, the process that goes in, not only just to the charging now that we've got this update, but, you know, if it gets to the jury side, all that, how with such a high profile do people go about, I mean, Hennepin County, for example, is this even going to be able to be held in Hennepin? Can you enlighten us a little bit on that process of what comes along with this?
Right. You know, I think the idea that Hennepin County reached out to the Attorney General's office for aid is definitely not an unexpected thing. Typically, if we had a case that what you want to make sure of is there's no appearance that you have any other bias or anything else. And so reaching out to an outside county is something that we typically do and that other counties would do. So that's not unexpected. I think one of the difficulties for this entire case, because of the national attention that's received, you always want a person to be presumed innocent until proven guilty. Obviously, with all of the reporting and all of the information that's been out there, the rioting and everything else, it's going to be a harder case to find jurors that will say, A, that they don't know anything about the case outside of what is in the courtroom, or B, if they haven't already potentially a preconceived notion in some way. That's usually the things that we'd ask a jury or a juror to make sure that they don't bring a bias with them or that they can at least put that bias aside and just listen to the facts as they're presented in court and make a decision as to guilt. So it is going to be very difficult for them, and I would expect you probably would see a change of venue to somewhere outside of Hennepin County.
Is Clay County a potential for that?
Well, I think they're allowed to move it wherever they would think it's far enough out to find someone that's fair and impartial. I don't know that they would go that far out of the state. That typically hasn't happened. We've had cases moved out of venue for Clay County. I've gone down as far as Stearns County before with cases when they've had multiple things or there's been a lot of media. So I could see that happening where it could potentially move to, say, Stearns or somewhere mid part of the state.
Brian, final question for you, because I know how short notice this is, but the other thing that comes along with this situation, and I think that's what's led to the protests, is the fact that this is law enforcement. It's on video, you know, so I think that also is going to play into people not having the preconceived idea of guilty, not guilty when it comes to jury selection. But does the fact that it involves law enforcement, a police officer, four of them in particular, does that change this process at all?
You know, it wouldn't change the process, but I think that you know, you have a strong belief and want to believe that your police are doing the best they can for the citizens around them. And I work with a lot of great police officers day in and day out. And I think there's not really a police officer that I know that hasn't looked at this situation and said, you know, things were wrong and they did things, you know, that were terrible there. So you have police officers, you're going to have police officers that are defendants, and it will weigh into how people view what happened and everything else. But I think as far as just how they're treated within the judicial system, it's the same as anybody else.
Brian Melton, our guest. Is there anything else, Brian? I'll give you the final word before I let you go. I know, again, like I said, I appreciate you at such short notice. Within 10 minutes, you're able to come back on, and I know how you're getting pulled a bunch of different ways. And final word goes to you.
Well, I appreciate you having me on here. I think, I think it's more about the fact that, you know, around here where we're at, we have a strong community. We have good community policing. We have police officers and prosecutors that have involvement in the community and are always working to do the right thing. I think it's unfortunate that we're seeing property being broken up and things like that in response to the terrible tragedy that happened. But, you know, I think we're still doing the right things, and the police are still working to reach out and work with the community.
Brian, I appreciate it. Don't be surprised if I don't reach back, because this thing does certainly unfold over the next months ahead of us, all right?
Sure. No, that's great. Thanks, Tyler.
All right, yeah, you take care. Brian Melton, he is the Clay County attorney. Again, such short notice. I do appreciate when officials like this make themselves available to us. When you have something like this develop as quickly as it now has, when it comes to Keith Ellison taking over and now doing the changing of charges, and then adding the fact that you've got the three other officers that were, as seen on video, standing there, now getting charged with aiding and abetting, and the officer with the knee on the neck now degree. As more of this comes forward, as far as the actual charging document, when we have questions, glad to know that Brian Melton, Clay County attorney, is going to be available to us. Your thoughts on the different charges? The conviction with everything you've seen now, protests. In fact, in the Fargo-Moorhead area, talks of another one being planned, a peaceful protest on Friday. We've got to talk about how the lack of an arrest started this and what happens if you don't get a conviction. 237-5948. You can text in 35270. Afternoons, we're just getting started. Don't you go anywhere. This is KFGO Fargo.